Johnson, where I live, is a mile square. It's a very small town. It's a farming community.
Let's take a look at your opening cash grain prices. Wheat at 803, Milo 563, corn at 606.
It's a very cozy town, actually.
Good morning.
Morning.
You know, you feel comfortable there. I do.
Johnson tends to be a very boring place, for the most part. So when something like this happens, it's so unfathomable to even try to think through what possibly could have happened.
Michael went missing May 20th of 2005. Michael got up early, gone to work. They were cutting at the time. He was the first one there at the shop. He was the last one to leave. On Friday after work, Michael was planning on picking up his son Mikey for the weekend. He was a great father.
Michael was having some problems with his ex-girlfriend, Shannon, who he had a child with.
Shannon wasn't happy. She always complained.
He was also having problems with a fellow by the name of Chad Floyd.
Chad Floyd was raised with money.
Who was currently married to his former girlfriend, Shannon.
I believe when Michael got to Chad and Shannon's house, some kind of altercation happened.
They're the only ones that had anything against him.
I miss Michael every day. He was my baby.
It's clear to me that Michael Golub disappeared. The question is, what were the circumstances involving that disappearance?
Michael just didn't take off. I thought foul play. Michael's blood was on that porch. Was he shot? Was he hit over the head? We don't know.
You got no body, and you don't have the murder weapon. Skimpy circumstantial evidence, and you're trying to put somebody away for life.
Really shouldn't be hard to get justice in a town, any size town. But when you are in a very tight-knit community like we are, I think it is tougher. I believe that the evidence proves Chad and Shannon are guilty. If the justice system doesn't get them, God will.
Justice in the Heartland. Tonight's 48 Hours Mystery.
You can drive a long way in Stanton County, Kansas, and rarely see another soul. In tiny Johnson City, the county seat, the locals trade gossip at places like the County Fair Cafe or the aptly named Rinky Dink Drive-In, owned by Mary Hart.
I need a special, please.
It's a very close community. Things can divide it and cause hard feelings. Things can draw it close together.
It's the kind of place that doesn't welcome strangers easily. Deb Golub knows. She moved her family here from California after her husband died, when her son Mike was 16. It was her boyfriend Jim's hometown, but all new to Deb.
We're newcomers. We've been here since 94. I'm an outsider. My son was an outsider.
His sister, Chrissy, stayed in California, but made a point of being part of Mike's life.
I remember him calling me and about falling out relationships, and likewise, I remember confiding in him, and he was so good about that, and I think that we really connected.
Initially, the local teens, like Danae Muir, didn't know quite what to make of the newcomer they nicknamed California Mike.
At first, I just thought he was a smartass. I mean, he was kind of full of himself and cocky and walked around telling these stories that none of us believed. And then we asked his mom and found out that most of them were actually true. And it just grew on me. It didn't take very long until you were laughing as hard as he was when he was telling the stories.
Shannon and Steve Morris soon realized that behind that cocky exterior was a heart of gold.
Mike would make you feel good about yourself. Mike was a good guy. He'd give you the shirt off of his back.
He was funny. We were best friends and stepbrothers. He was a very smart guy.
And a hard worker, adds his stepbrother, Bo Hines. Mike was a skilled mechanic who spent long hours repairing equipment for his boss, Eric Kramer.
Dependability was really good. Anything you put that kid to, he would figure it out. He was pretty good.
In 1995, Mike met another outsider, a young woman named Shannon Albers from Montana. And from the start, Mike was smitten.
They seemed to get along very well at the beginning. It was, let's go party, let's go have fun. It was a fast and furious thing.
But the honeymoon didn't last.
The only time Shannon ever talked to me is when she wanted to complain about Mike. And that's it.
Michael never made enough money. She always complained about money.
She'd make comments like she has caviar taste on a hot dog budget, and she'd say that in front of all her friends.
The one bright spot, the couple's son, Mikey, his father's pride and joy.
Excellent father. He loved his boy. He was just a natural-born dad.
But having Mikey didn't save the relationship. At its lowest point, Shannon even called the cops, alleging that Mike had choked her. They arrested him.
They had a fight, and he had his hand on her throat, holding her away from him.
The charges later were dropped, but Shannon soon moved out, taking Mikey with her.
I mean, he was in love with her, and he was devastated when they split up. I mean, that was a hard time for him.
Then, at the age of 24, Mike Golub had a heart attack, apparently the result of a genetic defect. It almost killed him.
After his heart attack, he got scared. He and I had a number of conversations that God had given him a second chance and that he needed to pay attention to that.
Friends say that brush with death was a turning point, and so was a new woman in his life, Brooke Wilkerson.
Young, fun. They went skydiving together. She brought out a lot of that life back to Mike.
In 2004, Mike and Brooke had a son, Cameron. By all accounts, Mike Golub finally had grown up. His life was full.
Mike turned into the young man that I would have been proud to call my son.
He was in love with Brooke, and he loved his son Cameron very much and wanted to be the father that he never had.
They were really happy. And Mike was talking marriage. I mean, he was talking, you know, proposing to her.
Mike's former girlfriend Shannon also had moved on and up to marry Chad Floyd, who happened to be from one of the richest and most powerful families in Johnson.
Everybody knows the Floyds, whether it be through farming or sitting around a coffee table at the local coffee shop.
Their name is so prominent here. They're very huge in farming here. They've been here for years.
Chad and Shannon, what was the attraction there?
It was money, period. She's a gold digger.
And she wasn't out of Mike's life. They still were fighting, now over Mikey, and now Chad was involved.
Michael wanted more time with his child. Shannon and Chad weren't willing
to share.
Mike was allowed to see Mikey only every other weekend. And despite the bickering, the arrangement seemed to work for a while. But on May 20th, 2005, Mike Golub drove away from work a little before 6 o'clock to pick up his son. And he's not been seen since.
Well, as soon as Steve got off the phone with Bo and told me he was missing, the very first thing I said was, "You don't think Shannon did something to him?"
You're kidding.
It's the very first thing I said.
Mike Golub's disappearance left his friends stunned and very suspicious of both his ex-girlfriend, Shannon, and her new husband, Chad Floyd.
Cocky, arrogant.
Arrogant, very arrogant.
Self-righteous. Comes from one of those families, a generation that's been around, you know, generations of family that's been in this community forever.
They have all the money in the community. They control the community. Everybody's lives absolutely revolve around them, their money, and what they do.
It's not that people are afraid of them like you would be someone from the mafia, but everybody just kisses their ass and they bow down to them.
Money talks.
Money may talk, but Chad and Shannon did not when we asked them for their perspective. And Golub's friends and family worried that the Floyd family's very prominence in Johnson could influence the investigation.
I mean, this is big stuff down here.
The police weren't talking publicly about this case, so we brought in 48 Hours veteran homicide investigators Paul Cialino and Joe Mura to look at the evidence and see where it would lead.
But we know he's right there between 614 and 620.
Now, we know that the police spoke to the neighbors. It's about half a mile or three quarters of a mile up.
All right, so we're going into the to Diane Floyd's restaurant, and we're going to see if she'll speak with us.
Well, the dynamic is that the new couple, Chad and Shannon, Chad decides he hates Michael because Michael is the father of a child that he's basically raising in his home. Shannon and Michael have a classic relationship of an unmarried couple who had a child, and they're kind of at war with each other more often than not.
Shannon had laid down strict rules for Mike's visits with Mikey. He had to pick up his son in a car with a car seat at a neutral spot, the local Ampride convenience store.
Very strict. We never vary, okay? It's always at Ampride here.
Not ever at their house.
No, he picked him up one time only for a birthday party, and that was Mikey's birthday party. That's the only time that I know of that Michael was out there at their home.
On May 20th, 2005, Mike Golub was working with a crew in fields about 20 miles from Johnson. That afternoon, Shannon had called and asked him to do something very unusual, come to her house to pick up Mikey. So around 6, Mike left in a truck borrowed from his boss. The high school football coach next reports seeing Mike at 6:20 in Johnson, at the corner of Lake and Logan, some 9 miles from Shannon's house.
So this is roughly where the last place anybody is known to have seen Mike.
Right.
Shannon told police he never came to her house to pick up Mikey. When reliable Mike didn't show up for work,
calls started coming in the next morning that he hadn't made it home, so.
So his family started calling?
Yeah, I started getting pretty worried then.
Yeah.
His boss, Eric Kramer, feared an accident. A pilot, he took a helicopter up, searched remote back roads, hoping to spot the truck. Not a trace. 5 days after Mike's disappearance, the truck was spotted in a remote field. There was no evidence of any foul play. And the mystery deepened. But given the bad blood between Mike and the Floyds, Mike's mother says it never was a mystery to her.
I thought of foul play.
From the beginning?
I would say so. Because there was so much hatred. For me, it fit together because I had known that she was vicious enough to do this. And so is Chad.
Police suspicions grew when it was learned that the Floyds were hoping to move, to leave Johnson for good.
Him and Shantwell, they're looking at real estate. They're talking about wanting to go to Colorado. They want to get out of here. And who can blame them? If you're young and there's not a lot here for you in reality. I mean, you're going to farm or you're going to farm some more.
Hi, Sally. How are you? Joseph Mora?
The couple already had talked about leaving to Sally Ochoa, a child custody worker from the state.
So their plan when they saw you was to move out of state.
I don't know whether it was a plan at that time, but it was definitely something they had discussed.
As an option that they were really
seriously considering exploring it, I believe.
But then Ochoa told them something they didn't want to hear. If they left Kansas, Shannon probably would lose custody of Mikey to his father.
Chad wants out of here. He wants out with Shannon. He wants out with the kid. And he doesn't want Mike around.
To the local cops, it sounded like a motive. They called in the Kansas Bureau of Investigation.
And what does Chad say when the KBI shows up at his house? What does he say to the sheriff? Why'd you have to involve the F in KBI? You know why? Because Chad knows, I got a problem now because these guys aren't from here. They don't know me and they don't care.
Indeed, the KBI began digging into the Floyds' financial records and made a startling discovery. 2 weeks before Mike's disappearance, Chad had cashed in $50,000 in family stock. Investigators would soon conclude the money was part of an elaborate scheme by the Floyds to make it look as if they had bribed Michael Golub to leave town. In fact, Chad's cousin, who runs the local bank here, says that Chad told him exactly that. The money was a payoff, so Michael would disappear and give up custody of Mikey.
He would never have sold his son, especially not to those two. Not to Chad and Shannon, never.
6 weeks after Mike vanished, KBI investigators searched Chad and Shannon's house, already having discovered that Shannon had repainted the front deck just days after Mike disappeared. Suspicious, they dismantled the deck, and on the unpainted underside of the boards, they hit pay dirt, small amounts of blood, and traces of Mike Golub's DNA.
It's some biological matter that came from Mike Golub, okay? That's what we know. But of course, if he wasn't here that day, how would it be there?
Shannon and Chad also had recently replaced the front window. The repairman said it had a hole in it. And finally, adding to the evidence against them, on the very day of Mike's disappearance, Chad Floyd bought an untraceable rifle from his cousin.
I think somebody was inside the house with a gun. I think he came to the front door, rang the doorbell, and got shot. That's what the evidence looks like to me. And I think they got rid of the body.
Assuming, of course, that Michael Golub is even dead.
My baby. He was fun. His laugh was invigorating. He wanted to be a good father. Losing that child, you never get over it. You never get over it.
I'm pretty sure. Good question. I don't know who that is, but I know that's Michael.
His mom and grandmother say there's an empty place in their hearts since Mike Golub disappeared.
You look like a kid.
Adding to the pain, they no longer have contact with their grandson.
That's BJ and Mikey.
Yeah. We haven't been allowed to see Mikey. And he's been such a big part of our life, and then to have him ripped out, it's terrible.
But Shannon's a custodial parent, and she doesn't want to have anything to do
no.
with you?
No. What is she afraid of? That's what I want to know. Why is she afraid for me to see that child? Does Mikey know something?
In fact, investigators never interviewed Mikey, never asked the child what happened that day. 48 Hours consultant Joe Moore says that interview might have shed light on the case.
Police investigation initially could have figured out, speaking to a five-year-old, did Daddy come? Very simple question. Yes, Daddy came. Did you see Daddy leave? Very simple questions.
The Kansas Bureau of Investigation, the KBI, wouldn't discuss this case, but 48 Hours investigator Paul Cialino says their biggest challenge was obvious. They had no body.
You could pick up all kinds of fibers, issues off of the body, the injuries, what kind of bullet was used.
Even without the body, KBI investigators formed a theory that Chad shot Mike not with the untraceable rifle he bought from his cousin, Chad turned that over, but rather with a Glock, like this one. They know Chad owned a Glock, but that gun has disappeared. And on his lawyer's advice, Chad never responded to questions about it.
How's that possible? That Glock is just gone. I don't know what happened to it.
The investigator's theory, Cialino says, appeared to be that Chad shot Mike Golub, perhaps from inside the house, the bullet going through the living room window and hitting Mike as he stood on the front deck. Adding to suspicion of the Floyds is their cell phone record, a cluster of calls that Cialino says supports the idea that Shannon took the kids off the property while Chad committed the murder.
Specifically, between 6:38, 6:57, there are 10 phone calls between Chad and Shannon.
Right.
That's when this murder takes place?
That's probably it in that 18-minute period.
And then why are they calling each other on the phone?
I mean, we got all kinds of issues going on. You got a body you got to dispose of. You got to clean a deck. Brooke calls. He's not home. What if somebody comes out here? What are we going to do? Listen, they're not serial killers. They've never done this before. This is high anxiety.
But illustrating what prosecutors are up against, Mora thinks those calls prove nothing at all.
We're talking about we're going to murder the individual at my house. I'm then going to have to dispose of the body, okay? So I'm going to be wasting all this time making phone calls with a person that I've already planned this murder with. I'm just not going to buy that. You know what I'm saying?
Still, nothing shakes Deb Golub's belief that the Floyds are responsible.
So you honestly believe that this young couple commits murder?
Oh, yeah.
Over a custody fight?
Yes, I do.
That they've pre-planned?
Yes.
They must be master criminals.
Oh, no, not at all. I think
no
they're
one
idiots.
Has found his body?
I think they're idiots. Who in their right mind would do something like this? Over a child.
But if Chad and Shannon did kill Mike Golub, what did they do with his body? Mike's family has several theories that perhaps under cover of darkness, they simply buried it out in the fields, or maybe even dumped it in an old abandoned well like this one. You find them still scattered around these parts. Anything dumped down there is unlikely ever to be found. Without a body, the evidence in this case was circumstantial. The painted deck, the blood under the boards, the broken window, the missing gun. But prosecutors are convinced they know what happened. And a year after Mike Golub disappeared, they arrest, charge, and jail Chad and Shannon Floyd. Bond was $1 million each, and it takes only 3 weeks for Chad's father to bail them out. And he hired two of the top lawyers in the state to defend them.
They've put a lot of money out there for those kids to protect those children, to protect Chad and Shannon. What are they protecting? Are they protecting the name of Floyd?
Still, Deb Golub has sympathy for Chad Floyd's parents.
I feel sorry for them. They have had to go through hell as much as I have. My family's not the only one that's been hurt by this.
A full cycle of planting and harvesting passed before the trial began in the summer of 2007. It lasted 2 weeks, and then, after just 2 days of deliberations, the jury declared itself hopelessly deadlocked. Deb Golub was distraught. She was so sure the evidence would convince even a jury from Johnson.
I think it was such a private, devastating time for us. We have cried so much over this, and it's an everyday occurrence for us to talk about it.
There's no evidence the jury was influenced by the Floyd family's power, but Mike Golub's friends have few doubts.
Any other place in the United States, any other jury that would have heard the evidence that was put forth, they would have been guilty.
Not so fast, say prosecutors Rick Gwynn and Barry Disney. They refile the charges, rolling the dice again with a jury from Johnson.
This is a big deal. I want to win this.
9 months later, they seem confident that this time they will win justice for Mike Golub, even if Chad Floyd doesn't seem the least bit worried.
The defendant, Chad Floyd, is charged with the crime of murder in the first degree. He pleads not guilty.
April 2008, nearly 3 years after her son disappeared, Deb Golub is getting a second chance at justice.
It's scary. It is scary. We've already been through a hung jury once.
With so much at stake, Mike's sister Chrissy has flown in from California.
I'm just sick to my stomach, nervous. This final chapter for 3 years, I am ready for a final outcome.
But the family is concerned because this second trial is in the same county, the same courthouse, with the same small town jury pool.
Stand for the jury, please.
I hope for a guilty verdict, that we can get a fair trial in Stanton County.
Under Kansas law, only the defense can ask for a change of venue. And prosecutor Barry Disney knows Chad and Shannon want to keep the trial right here in Johnson.
So you're not just convicting this arbitrary defendant that tomorrow you'll never know. You're convicting Gary's son or Marla's boy or Chris's, you know, cousin.
And it seems like there are so many people that live in this community that work for the Floyds, that are related to them. And I mean, I just can't imagine working with these people and then having to go on the stand against them.
But when the trial finally begins here at the Stanton County Courthouse, that is exactly what happens. Relatives and employees of the Floyd family are put in the uncomfortable position of testifying against Shannon and Chad, adding to the tension in town.
Would you please state your name for the court, sir?
Chris Floyd.
Chad's cousin Chris, the banker, says Chad told him all about his plan to bribe Mike Golub to leave town.
You were left with the impression that Michael Golub had accepted $50,000 in exchange for relinquishing parental rights, correct?
Yes, I was.
But when Chris's wife, Dara,
help you God.
Yes, ma'am.
Ran into Mike at a school event just days before he disappeared, she says Mike acted nothing like a man about to abandon his son.
I remember Michael telling Mikey as he walked by, I love you, son.
If they tried to bribe Michael with $50,000, Michael would have looked at that and looked at them and laughed in their face. He would not have taken a dime for that child.
There's no evidence he ever did take a dime. Bank records show Chad and Shannon redeposited almost all of the money into an out-of-town bank.
And these two knuckleheads, frankly, that's why they're on trial, because it is $50,000, and then Mike missing afterwards.
Compounding their woes, a series of damning comments Chad made to co-workers.
So he got very angry, got in my face, and said, if Mike ever tried to get custody of that little Mikey, he'd kill him.
What did he tell you?
That it would be easy to make him disappear.
And did he indicate how it would be easy to do that?
Drop him in the well.
And there was this from Chad's own cousin.
I said that if you had nothing to do with this, why kind of making things difficult for the investigators? He said, wouldn't you cover? You wouldn't even cover for your wife? And I said, not for murder.
Yeah. And what was his response to that?
He said, that's where you and I are different.
But perhaps the most telling comment of all.
I mean, he said, they can't prosecute without a body.
Prosecutors don't have a body, but they do have Mike's DNA in the blood under the deck. As to how it got there.
Ma'am, would you tell the jury your name?
My name is Lisa Marie Burdett.
Defense attorneys get the state's expert, Lisa Burdett, to admit, well, she's not sure. Suppose, they ask, Mike was on the deck once and happened to spit.
And you'd find Michael Golub's DNA
because of the skin cells or blood cells in the saliva, correct?
Yes.
48 Hours investigator Joe Mura says it's all about creating doubt.
He could have been there once, sneezed or spit on that porch, and his DNA would be there.
Still, no one answers the question investigator Paul Cialino poses.
This is it. This is Shay Chad.
Why is only Mike Golub's DNA on those boards?
Chad's been on the deck 35,000 times, and his DNA's not on there. Shannon and the children have been on there every day they've lived there. Their DNA's on there. What are the chances of poor Mike's DNA showing up on the deck and nobody else's?
The evidence is there.
Now, can we turn to board two?
Blood doesn't get someplace without something happening. It just doesn't go.
With the forensic evidence looking so bad for Chad and Shannon, the defense goes on the offense, attacking Mike Golub's character, asking his stepbrother, Bo Hines,
that was a good time there,
about Mike's supposedly heavy drug use years earlier.
You told Agent Boyer that you and Michael Golub had done cocaine, marijuana, methamphetamine, and alcohol together, correct?
Yes.
In fact, there was a drug bust in Johnson just days before Mike disappeared. The cops say he was not involved, but a key defense witness,
I appreciate you rushing in for us, thank you,
suggests a link.
He says, I did something that's gonna piss a lot of people off.
Helen Blevin says Mike implied to her that he had tipped off the cops and was worried about retaliation.
He stated to me, he says, oh, believe me, he says, I could disappear and nobody'd ever find me.
Made me mad because I don't know where she's getting her information, but it's completely false.
Mike's friends add Johnson is hardly home to drug kingpins out for revenge. As for that big time bust,
that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. People in Johnson don't even know what a real drug dealer is. They would go to the city and find one, and maybe they would find out what one was. That's absolutely ridiculous.
But the defense isn't finished yet. Another theory, that the disappearance is somehow linked to Mike's girlfriend, Brooke, and a secret affair.
So, could have been as long as 2 months prior to May 20th, 2005, that Brooke and Mike had been arguing about who's sleeping with who. True?
Yes.
But Bo says there was no reason for Mike to worry.
We talked about it that one time. I said, man, come on, dude. I said, there's no way.
If he had a suspicion that he voiced to you, he only voiced this one time.
Yeah.
This is just garbage on from the defense side.
A drug ring, an affair, a jealous lover. Is it all preposterous? Or is it reasonable doubt?
Did he confront somebody that was having an affair with Brooke? Did a fight break out? Did he get hit over the head by the lover of Brooke? Who knows? The fact is there are other possibilities.
But this time around, Deb Golub is confident.
We can only hope.
That a jury from Johnson can fairly weigh the evidence against a family named Floyd.
I feel a difference in the courtroom. We're hoping for a conviction.
It's 7:07 now and time for your hometown news. And with that, here's Eddie Ochoa. Good morning, Eddie.
Well, in the news, the first-degree murder case against a couple accused of killing the woman's ex-boyfriend in Southwest Kansas is expected to go to the jury today.
The second Golub murder trial is nearing its end. It's taken a toll on Mike's mother, Deb.
You don't live your life as if you're going to be put into a fishbowl.
A fishbowl where the defense highlighted every problem Mike Golub ever may have had.
Consider, too, that if a despairing Golub returned to drugs anywhere and with his fragile heart overdosed in some drug dealer's squalid drug den or shooting gallery, then other people, unknown to any of us, had a motivation to get rid of his body and dispose of it to protect their drug dealing enterprise.
I thought they could do anything they wanted to because Michael wasn't there to defend himself.
So you felt they were putting the victim on trial?
You bet. It was Michael's life that was on trial. It wasn't Chad and Shannon that was on trial.
Especially hurtful, she says, was defense attorney Kurt Kern's insistence that since Mike's body's never been found, he may not even be dead.
Maybe. He's on a beach in Mexico with shades on going, suckers. Maybe that's the last scene of this movie. Huh, got my revenge. I ain't paying child support to nobody now.
Prosecutor Rick Gwynn closes his case, urging jurors to ignore the rhetoric and focus on the reason.
There are two people in this entire world that had the motivation to kill Michael Golub that day. They wanted him out of the picture. He was an impediment to their future. Chad and Shannon Floyd. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the jury, you've now received all of the evidence. It's time for you to go to the jury room and commence your deliberation.
Good job with it. We'll win.
The defense sounds cocky, but Deb Golub also is feeling upbeat.
Oh, I'm very optimistic with this jury. I believe the evidence has come across better. The prosecutors were much more prepared because they knew what the defense was coming in with.
But after 3 hours that first day and only 2 hours the next morning, comes an all too familiar message from the jurors.
So we have a hung jury, people of extreme adamant about their positions, what to do. I gave you this instruction before. And
try again, the judge says, sending the panel back.
Maybe they're afraid to make a decision. Maybe they can't live with it on their conscience that they've sent somebody to prison.
2 more days of deliberations, and then
jury is deadlocked. No verdict can be reached for guilty or not guilty.
It is over. Another hung jury. The vote splits 7-5, unclear which way.
This is really disgusting. Unheard of. I don't understand, with all the evidence that we have, that they can't come to a right decision. He was my grandson, and they did away with him.
You guys have any comment about it?
Shannon and Chad Floyd simply walk out of the courtroom, free to return to normal life, at least for now.
You happy that the jury is hung, Chad, Shannon?
Neither has anything to say. The exasperated prosecutors do, however, vowing they will try this case a third time.
2 hung juries isn't going to discourage us. We'll be there until the bitter end.
An announcement that infuriates the defense.
Well, apparently the Attorney General's office is more interested in getting on TV than they are justice.
But 7 months later, those same prosecutors have changed their tune.
There was a concern if we went a third time on the evidence that's already been uncovered that it would result in a third hung jury.
There will be no next trial for the Floyds. Prosecutors announce all charges are dropped and won't be filed again unless some new evidence surfaces.
They will never find evidence incriminating Chad and Shannon Floyd because no such evidence exists, nor did it ever exist.
For Chad and Shannon, it's total vindication. For Deb Golub, total defeat. The Floyds are free, her son is gone, and she has no idea where her grandson even is. As soon as they got their freedom, Chad and Shannon skipped town with Mikey. Deb Golub's pleas to Shannon to see him went nowhere.
And she just flatly refused to let me see Mikey. I don't know where Mikey is. I have no clue.
We used to be friends. We used to be chummy, and I just want to ask her, why are you doing, why? I don't understand.
But a year after the trial, 48 Hours investigators tracked Shannon down, living in Burlington, Colorado with Mikey and her other son. A source told investigator Paul Cialino that Chad is rarely seen with Shannon anymore.
He went out and obtained a commercial driver's license and has been driving a semi-truck.
And Mike Golub, forever California Mike to his pals, is officially still missing.
He was a great father. He was a great son. I was very proud of my son.
Do you think he'll get justice?
Maybe not on this earth, but eventually, yes. Shannon and Chad will get theirs in the end, whether we do it or God.